Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas Realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, it's time for Hour 2 of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Presented by BetMGM. We'll start this hour by handicapping the Falcons and the Bucks because, listen, I understand the NFC South is not the most exciting conference, or excuse me, division in the National Football League, but the way that you make these games interesting is you put some skin in the game and you make some bets. We'll hand out our favorite plays for that game in moments here on the show. We'll sprinkle in a little baseball news with Pete Alonso going to Baltimore on a massive deal. Iowa and Iowa State squaring off in college hoops. And then we get to our survivor plays later on in this hour. So, Jenks, let's take a little trip down memory lane because this is not, of course, the first time that Kirk Cousins has faced the Bucs. He's faced them many times in his career. But the start of his iconic catchphrase, "You like that?" started after he led his team, Washington, to a dramatic comeback win where they were down 24-0 at halftime to the Tampa Bay Bucks. So this was back in 2015. And Jenks, if my math is mathing correctly, you were probably covering the team. Do you remember this?
I was. Oh, my God. Yes. Do you know how often we ran that soundbite here in D.C.? Again and again.
Probably a hotkey.
I mean, oh my God, a hotkey is right. I mean, I get it. I mean, at the time, it was just imagine if you're right here in DC and it was coming off a win and Kirk Cousins is playing well. And then it just came out of nowhere. It was so organic. So, I mean, we ran that coming into every pregame show, going out of every postgame show and did that for weeks. You know, it would pop in on year end specials. We'd have fun with it during our 30-minute shows, our recap shows at night. I mean, it was everywhere. And even now and then, I think you'll see it pop up just out of fun. Even when he was with the Vikings, I think, what was it, after a big win or something, he came in the locker room and dropped it and people lost their minds. So, yeah, that thing was just scorching hot for a while.
Ah, it's like that trend. I don't know if you scroll TikTok that much where it's like, come on, Superman, say your stupid line. And everybody says like their catchphrase. Kirk Cousins needs to make a TikTok. I don't know if he's on TikTok, but that would be a very fitting one for that trend. And it should be noted that Kirk Cousins has had some great games against the Bucks in, you know, the last 5 years, even last year in 2024 in two games against the Bucks, combined for 8 touchdown passes to only 1 pick. But it should be noted again that Kirk Cousins this year is not the same as in some of those previous years, because combined against the Bucs, 14 touchdown passes to only 2 picks. But some of those, again, were thrown in 2015, in 2020, and 2023, which feels like a far cry from the Kirk Cousins iteration that we are getting now. So, Jenks, as we get into this Thursday night football game, line in this one is pretty tight. Tampa Bay laying 4.5. And early on in the season, I would say, oh, Tampa Bay at home, that's definitely the play. But the Bucs have fallen on hard times. They've, you know, suffered a bunch of injuries to their offense. They have lost 5 of their last 7 games. And I'm not saying that the Falcons are world beaters because they've already been mathematically eliminated from the postseason. But at the end of the day, this is a divisional matchup. It's a big game for the Bucs. It's not a must win, but it feels like emotionally they probably need this one because the team is absolutely scuffling. Baker Mayfield is, it feels like playing hurt. He's certainly not putting up the numbers that we saw at the start of the season. This Bucs team has come a long way since we were talking about Baker Mayfield as a legitimate MVP candidate and Emeka Egbuka as rookie of the year favorite. So you look at the Bucs here laying 4.5, and usually I would side with Tampa Bay and the home team, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I am not a fan of this game. I mean, I'm a fan of watching football. I'm going to watch the NFL. But, you know, when it's one game on the slate and you're talking about pro football, this would be one of those games that if this were tomorrow and we were previewing the weekend, I'd be like, this is probably a pass for me. And look, the Bucs are, they're just not playing good football. They're playing okay football, but they're tied with Carolina right now for the division lead. Like, how insane does that sound? Do you know what I mean? Where early in the season, it looked like the Bucs were going to be the runaway favorites, and who knew that the Panthers were going to play not amazing football, but better football than we anticipated. So they're in a real fight for the division. I will say they're getting Mike Evans tonight. I believe they activated him off the injury list, so that is huge for them because early in the week it looked like maybe he wouldn't play, and clearly he's one of the best weapons, not just for Tampa, but in the NFL with how big and physical he is. I would lean Buccaneers tonight because they're at home, because they're clearly the better team, and the Falcons have just been awful. Kirk Cousins, we're talking about Kirk Cousins, doesn't look like the same quarterback at all. He's just not. Like, he's older, and once he tore his Achilles, I mean, that's such a devastating injury, and particularly when you're a quarterback, and particularly when you're one of the older quarterbacks in the NFL. So I'm leaning Tampa, but I don't feel amazing about it.
Yeah, I will say if there's ever a case to be made for Tampa Bay to maybe go on an upward trajectory after this, it's the fact that they're starting to get healthy again. Because like you mentioned, Mike Evans activated off IR. Same with Jalen McMillan. And here's the big one that maybe people won't talk about quite as much. Tristan Wirfs was a full participant in practice yesterday. And he is the starting left tackle. And if you remember that name, it's because he used to play protector for Tom Brady when Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. So I think that's a big deal when you have, you know, the offensive line starting to get healthy and you have somebody like that who should be a big help to Baker Mayfield. Because we've seen what it does for quarterbacks across the league. Like, remember the Joe Alt thing where you look at the numbers for Justin Herbert when Joe Alt is in the game, and they're miles better when Joe Alt, you know, is in the game as opposed to being injured. So I think that's low-key a very big thing for the Bucs. But again, like 4.5 points. Here's the thing. I think this is a game that the Bucs win, but I'm not going to be surprised if it's close because I will say there are some other issues for the Bucs, especially with their defense. A defense that was really good at stopping the run earlier in the season, but then they have been torched by really high-end running backs like Jahmyr Gibbs had over 100 yards against them. Same goes with Travion Henderson. So that's the thing. If the Falcons can really rely heavily on Bijan Robinson, I think they certainly have a chance in this game. But you look at the first game of the season, I believe, between the Bucs and the Falcons, and I'm pretty sure that Bijan was absolutely bottled up in that game. So the Falcons cannot have that happen again. Bijan only had 24 yards rushing on 12 carries. But again, this defense for Tampa Bay has kind of taken a slide as well. So back at square one, I feel like I'm leaning towards the Falcons and the points. I don't know how many points we're going to see made in this one. And I also don't know what we're going to get from Baker Mayfield because, again, he's not playing at the level that he's been playing for, you know, the first half of the season. And last week it was terrible weather that he had to play with a bunch of rain against the Saints. So I don't know if you throw that game out, but I don't know what to expect from Baker tonight.
Yeah, Baker has not been good. Especially compared to what he has not been baking. Baker has been mixing is what he's been doing. He's been, you know, he's had the wooden spoon in the bowl. He's like, are you baking? Yeah, maybe. I'm just kind of, you know, maybe. Maybe I'll bake later.
He forgot to turn on the oven.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Baker, it seems like that cake has been in the oven for a while now. Hasn't it been like 4 or 5 hours? Oh, I forgot to turn it on. Silly me. But if you look at his performance over the past four games, he's thrown for 4 touchdowns, 4 picks. Not you know, very, very average at best. And that's at best. Now, again, it does help. He gets Werps back to protect him on the offensive line. Mike Evans should be back. So that's going to be huge as well. But at the same time, if Baker isn't playing great, how much is that going to matter? And he has started to, I don't want to say fallen off. That's just so, that sounds like he's just like dropped off and he's not doing anything right. His play has just been underwhelming recently. Okay, so can he have success here against the Falcons? Maybe, but the Falcons are decent defensively. One thing I do like is I do like the under in this game. So for a couple reasons. Number one is because of how Baker is playing, because he hasn't been the Baker that we saw early in the season. And also when you look at the Falcons, like Drake London is likely out for this game. So what is Kirk Cousins going to do? I don't trust Kirk Cousins at all. And yet listening to you and thinking about this being a divisional game and the fact that it's 4.5, you know, I said I was leaning Bucks, and I'm like, yeah, but you know how these divisional games go, and you like the under, maybe the Falcons are the right side. I like the under much better. And also, if you look at the weather in the area, it's going to be really sloppy in Tampa. So Tampa's been getting rain over the past couple of days. I expect kind of a sloppy field as well. And so when you have two offenses that haven't been lighting it up and kind of a wet field and a short week, I feel like the under is going to be the play there.
Well, I also think that if the Falcons are smart, they're going to try to run the football because Bijan Robinson is their best player on the field. And it should be noted that Drake London is ruled out for them. So that is a big loss to their receiving core. Kyle Pitts is also questionable, but I do think if he does play, he's going to be the number one go-to guy for Kirk Cousins. So from a prop standpoint, his number tonight, 59.5, if you want to hit the over there, I think that's a solid play. Last week, he had 7 catches, 82 yards, 8 targets. And the week before, 6 catches, 90 yards on 10 targets. So clearly Kirk Cousins likes throwing over the middle of the field to Kyle Pitts. And he did torch the Bucks last time around in the first meeting. Other angles for this, I think whenever you're talking about desperation games, and again, it's not a must win for the Bucks, but do you really want to come out of this game losing 6 of your last 8? Feels like no. You got to get the team back on the right path with Carolina coming up on the schedule. So whenever it's desperation time, I feel like this is when quarterback rushing plays really come in to the fold. So when you think of Baker Mayfield, he's already been really productive from a rushing standpoint over his last 4 games, 42, 27, 19, and 39 rush yards. So the number today, as I look it up currently for Baker Mayfield and his rushing yards tonight, it is 19.5. So Jenks, we going to go over for Baker Mayfield running the football?
Oh, gosh. That number feels like it's right there. Like, right. I mean, these numbers are always very sharp. But yeah, Baker can take off. And I will say this, that as we get closer to the season, when you're talking about a team at home where they got to have a win here coming off a bad loss, they're tied with Carolina in the division. I'm not saying that the guys don't give max effort. They always do. But you know how there's a little more initiative when there's so much at stake? You know, right. I think, what was it last year? Or maybe it was earlier this year where we saw Baker. I think it was early this year. We saw Baker take off and like shake off a couple tackles, get in someone's face. I mean, he could be super fiery and he will absolutely be aggressive. I think he could be hyper aggressive here just based on the situation at hand. And so when you have a guy like that and these numbers are so sharp, you know, going for that extra yard or two because there's so much on the line and maybe not sliding and saying, nah, I'm going to take a hit here. I'm going to lean forward could be the difference. So I actually like that play.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Why would Baker not try to put his team on his back? Maybe the sabotage factor is that he does get his full complement of receiving weapons back and Tristan Wirfs is back. So maybe the passing game will be easier. And also, some of this needs the Falcons to make it a close game. Because again, if it's a desperation play, you need it to be like within a touchdown, which I do think is going to be the case. I don't see the Bucs really running away with this game the way that they have been playing lately. And then just from a matchup standpoint, you always look at the like fantasy football grid and you're like, okay, what is this team really struggle at protecting? So if you look at Tampa Bay's defense, they've given up the most receiving yards to opposing running backs. And it just so happens that Bijan Robinson has very good hands for a running back. So I think you could look at that one. 38.5 is the number for him. His average this season is 46.5. The only sabotage factor there is that Kirk Cousins hasn't been looking his direction in the passing game quite as much. So we're hoping that the targets are there, but he certainly has high-end potential. And I will say the last time against the Bucks, he had a big day in the air. I think he had 100 receiving yards. So yeah. You've got plenty of options here. You've got Baker Mayfield running the football. You've got Kyle Pitts. If he plays in this game, you have Bijan Robinson when it comes to the receiving game. Jinx, am I missing anything here when it comes to bets tonight?
No, I think Bijan in the receiving game is absolutely huge, because particularly when you have a quarterback who's struggling and you have a stud receiver who's out, even though I know he struggled in their first meeting, if the Falcons are going to have any chance of staying close, don't they have to have great production from Bijan Robinson? And if you think this game is going to be close, and I know you do, then isn't he a guy who has to perform tonight? So anything on Bijan in particular, I know I'm biased, he went to Texas, but regardless, it's Bijan. So I think it's a great play.
Yeah, and it should be noted, he struggled on the ground, but he didn't struggle in the receiving game. Six
right.
catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. So I think maybe that's the way that you play Bijan Robinson. And listen, at some point, let's use our brains here. Bijan Robinson is your best player. Get him the damn football if you want a chance in this game. It's not that hard. All right, coming up next here on the Daily Tip, we'll have a sprinkle of some baseball headlines and a little college hoops. It's after the break on the Daily Tip.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we're back on a Thursday, December 11th. So, Jenks, we've had a sprinkle of baseball news over the past couple of days with some big signings. And this one was another one that I was really surprised by. So I saw this and I literally looked at my phone. I said, wow, I felt like Owen Wilson and his signature. Wow. When Pete Alonso signed a 5-year, $155 million deal with the Baltimore Orioles. So, Jenks, you can speak on this because you're kind of in the area. So my first reaction was like, the Orioles are spending money? This is wild to me. And in fact, this is the second largest deal ever given out by the Orioles, second only to Chris Davis. I think his deal was like $166 million over 7 years. And here's the other thing. The Mets keep losing their big name players. So I know that when you look this up, most of the storylines are focused on the Mets and the negatives coming out of this. But this is a huge deal for Baltimore.
Oh my God. It's a massive deal for them. And they needed this. You know, the Orioles are so, sometimes they're tough to figure out. Do you know what I mean? Like, are you guys all in on winning or what? Because a couple seasons ago, they won the AL East and then they let some of their best players go. And you're like, are you guys committed or not? So it's massive for Baltimore. It absolutely improves their lineup, especially after they let Anthony Santander go or sent him away a couple years ago. So now that lineup is absolutely stacked again. They have some issues when it comes to their pitching staff, but I wonder, is Baltimore all in on winning, or is it just to kind of plug a big hole? Obviously, it's a massive name. Give one guy his money, but not take care of the other issues that they have. That's the issue for me.
Right. It does feel like they still need to make some more moves if they want to be competitive. Yeah. But it does feel like a sign of the times and that things are changing, because for a while, the Orioles were not a destination that these big free agents would want to go to. And Pete Alonso was one of the prized, you know, objects in free agency because he's one of the most dependable power hitters in all of baseball. 31 years old, at least 34 home runs in each of his seasons since coming up to the big leagues, with the exception of 2020, because of course that was a shortened season. And if you look at the most home runs since 2019, only Aaron Judge and Kyle Schwarber have more than Pete Alonso during that time frame. Mm-hmm. And I know anytime you have a guy that signs a five-year deal when they're over 30 years old, you say, okay, what if he gets fat and happy? What if he loses that competitive drive and he just turns into a pumpkin? Because we've seen that a lot in baseball. I feel like it's not going to be the case for Pete Alonso. Like, if you've ever watched like the cutaways during home run derbies, this guy's an absolute psychopath. Like, remember that year where they were showing him like deadlifting before the home run derby that literally does not even matter towards your career stats? So I think Pete Alonso is somebody who wants to win. He wants to put up these big numbers. And he's a really competitive guy. So I think it's a great deal.
Oh, it's absolutely a great deal. I mean, he's going to put butts in the seats and give Orioles fans a reason to get excited again, because last year was such a letdown. But Pete Alonso has done a great job of putting himself in this position. And what I love about it, too, is that this is a guy who, you know, is sort of doubted by the Mets. And that's another part of this story. Like, what are the Mets doing? They're just, it's over. You know, what was it, a few years? It wasn't that long ago they brought in, what, Scherzer and Verlander, and they were going all in. And now, Edwin Diaz with the Dodgers, Brandon Nimmo's in Texas. Pete Alonso signs with the O's. Like, the Mets have gone from we're going all in to guess what? We're going all out.
Yeah, it feels like the pecking order has changed, because just was it a year ago when we were like, things have changed in the Big Apple. Juan Soto went to the Mets and now it's not little brother anymore. But in true Mets fashion, it feels like nothing is positive for that long. Like, we use the term the Mets are going to Mets, and usually it's in season. But now it feels like you're on this roller coaster once again, where now we're at the bottom, where all the storylines are like, the Mets just lost a big free agent to the Orioles. What are we doing with this franchise? Like, Steve Cohen has all this money and he supposedly, you know, wants to spend it, and you can't keep Pete Alonso at home. So I know it's one of those things where, you know, big markets usually overreact, but you had two guys leave you that were big parts of your team last year. So I don't know how they handle this, but I know one thing for sure is that there's going to be a lot of talk in the media about how the Mets, you know, the sky is absolutely falling, because that's how it is when you play in a major market.
No, and it is falling. The person that is, or the people who are meting the Mets, are the ownership members. It's the members of the staff. Like, the it's amazing to me the quick turn that a franchise like that is willing to make. Like, how do you go from having the mentality that we want to be competitive and we want to win it all and we want to make sure that we have a roster that can compete with the best in Major League Baseball? How do you go from that to, you know what, it's fire sale time. Let's just save some money this year. I get it. And that's the thing that's hard for me to understand, is that some of these ownership groups, some of these individual owners, you would assume I'm here to win. And of course, because you're going to make money. Okay. The question is, how much money are you going to make? And for some of these groups, and we see it here in DC, they don't really want to win, or they've won enough, and now it's time to save some cash. And so it feels like now that's what the Mets are doing.
Well, I think the rumor was they didn't want to offer a deal to Pete Alonso beyond 3 years. And of course, when you are 31 years old, you want a long-term deal and you want that job security. And that's fine. Pete Alonso deserves it. That just, it feels like an ownership group that when they first came into the fold, they beat, you know, Steve Cohen was like, oh, I'm so rich and I'm going to spend a bunch of money. And now they're just pulling back. So I don't know what the reason is behind it. Maybe they didn't want to get mired in what they thought would be a bad long-term deal. But again, I look at Pete Alonso and I just don't feel like that's the case. I could, you know, be wrong because we've seen these deals go south in a hurry. You know, the one with Chris Davis was not great for the Orioles, but it should be noted that was a different ownership group. So it's a good move by the Orioles, and it should be another fun team to monitor throughout the offseason to see if they make any other big deals. But this can be one of the biggest offseason deals of the year. All right, Jenks. So in other baseball news, Joe Buck wins the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame Ford C. Frick Award, symbolizing excellence in broadcasting. So this is not a huge shock. It feels to me that there is a very limited pool of candidates who are even up for this. Joe Buck calls the World Series, does he not? So it's not shocking to me that he, or actually, he didn't do the World Series this year because it was Fox, right? But So I guess maybe it is a little bit of a shock. But Joe Buck, I feel like he's synonymous with the biggest name in baseball right now. Maybe at one point the tide will turn and it'll be Joe Davis, who is the announcer for the Dodgers, but he's still a young guy. And I think a lot of people don't really have the name recognition there. So this is not shocking at all.
No. And, you know, I think if you're someone who's a little bit younger, you don't understand Joe Buck's history. And he's been around forever. And I don't mean that as a slight because, like, he's the second youngest person to ever win this award. He's 56. Vin Scully won it at 54, which makes total sense because Vin Scully is the GOAT or one of the GOATs. But Joe Buck, of course, following in the footsteps of his famous father, he called his first World Series when he was 27 years old. Imagine that for a second. It was in 1996. You're 27 and you're calling the World Series. And he called it annually from the year 2000 to 2021. So he got his start in baseball with the Louisville Redbirds back in 1989. 2 years later, he was calling Cardinals games. A few years after that, all of a sudden, he's calling World Series games. He does that for two decades. And now he's more synonymous with the NFL and Monday Night Football. But he has a long history, honestly, a three decades history of calling baseball, particularly at the major league level and at the highest level. So I think Joe Buck has an unforgivable job. I know he gets a lot of grief from fans, but I don't think fans also understand how difficult it is to be a good play-by-play person and also to be versatile enough that you can call multiple sports.
Well, and like, who do people like for play-by-play in baseball? Like, that's the thing. I think people are just haters of everybody. And the other thing is we see this a lot in like Hollywood or whatever, where people want to talk about like nepo babies, like nepotism, where it's like, okay, well, is he here just because of his dad? I would say most of the younger demographic probably don't even know this, like, part of his lore. And I do think, you know, he is the best in the game right now. And I feel like everything he's gotten has been deserved. Like, maybe got a few of those first jobs, you know, because of his last name. But he's also been around the game, you know, for so long. And he's learned it firsthand from somebody who's one of the best to ever do it as well. So it feels well deserved to me. I don't have any problems with Joe Buck. I always think of him as a baseball guy first. Like, I always associate him with the St. Louis Cardinals. But yeah, it is, I guess he's famous for Monday Night Football as well.
And also I'll also say too, that I know people give him a hard time about, you know, being a nepo baby, but if you've listened to him and heard him talk about it, like, he admits it. He says, yes, I know that I had an advantage. Like, I absolutely had an advantage having my father call games. I was lucky to be in the room with him. I was lucky to learn from him. I absorbed what he had to say. And so anyone that has that sort of self-awareness, I appreciate, because look, sometimes people get born into fortunate circumstances and either you take those for granted or you appreciate those. And Joe Buck is like, yeah, I got really lucky. But also, he's not someone who took advantage of this circumstance and is just, you know, just kind of mailing it in every day. He took one of the best learning tools ever, his father, and then decided, okay, I'm going to learn from this and become as good as I can. So he's also worked for it as well. So I appreciate him having that perspective.
Can I ask your opinion on another Nepo baby? Because
sure.
I think I have mixed feelings here, and I would love to hear your perspective as a broadcaster. Jack Collinsworth, what do you make of him? Like, it's funny because he's the spitting image, obviously, of his dad, Chris Collinsworth. But, like, he's only 30. And I feel like he has been thrust into the spotlight where they're like, we're going to have him on every major broadcast. You're going to like Jack Collinsworth if you like it or not.
I'm still coming around to Jack Collinsworth. To me, that is a, like, he's very gregarious. Okay. And I like that. He has a lot of energy. But I would say that unlike Joe Buck, at least in my personal view, and I am not one to critique anyone, but I would say that, you know, I, as far as a talent evaluation is concerned, I feel like he could probably use a little more polish before he was thrust into that role. Sometimes you see this with Gronk, right? And I know Gronk is a different story, but last year in particular, during the Super Bowl, my God, Fox just was like, we are going, and he wasn't ready. And that's the thing. Like, they had, I don't know if you saw Gronk's first ever live interview, and they decided to put his first ever live interview, was it with Kelsey? But it was during the Super Bowl. I was like, you're going to put this guy on the biggest stage in the world when it comes to sports for his first ever live. And he was really nervous, and you could tell. And Gronk has gotten better. But I am not a fan of any network saying, we've decided you're the guy, but instead of grooming you and getting you ready for this platform at this stage, we're going to say, just do it. I think that's not the time to sort of go by trial and error. You need to be ready to go if you're going to be at least on that stage.
Yeah, and it seems like that's like the same knock on Tom Brady, is that like it's right. not his fault. It's just he has had to improve while being at the highest level, and he has improved. But for anybody, even if you're Tom Brady and you're the GOAT, sometimes broadcasting can be a game that you have to learn with repetition.
Yeah.
All right, Jenks, we have like a minute and a half left. How about a little sprinkle of college hoops? Because we do have a good rivalry matchup in college basketball tonight. Iowa and Iowa State. Iowa State has been an absolute wagon this year. Undefeated, 9-0, coming off an absolute rout over the number one team at the time, Purdue, 81-58. On the road, a massive win, but the line in this game is 12.5. So I think that's the question. Is it too many points in a rivalry matchup?
I mean, it might be. Iowa State is a total wagon right now. They have at least three players who are averaging 16.8 points per game. Milan Momcilovic has been great. Tamen Lempsey has been great. I mean, these guys can beat you in myriad ways, but also rivalry game. It's at Hilton Coliseum. No Iowa player on that roster has ever played in this game. There's two guys on the roster from last season, but they didn't play in this game. So I don't know if that will be good for Iowa or not. I might lean Iowa State, but rivalry game, this many points, that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I want to fade Iowa State at this point, but at some point they're going to play in a close game. Maybe this is it. I wouldn't say that this is, you know, one of those games where it is a letdown game, because sometimes you have a huge win over Purdue and you say, okay, letdown spot, but it's against your rival for the Cyhawks. So I'd still kind of lean towards Iowa State, but it's not going to be one of my best bets. All right, coming up next, time to play Survivor in the NFL, I believe. And we'll see which teams win outright this week in the NFL.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza?
Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we're off and rolling on a Thursday, which means it's time for Survivor Picks. In a few minutes on the show, we'll hand out our favorite outright plays in the NFL. And Jenks, I feel like it's harder this year because the circle of trust has really shrunk. Where in years past, you're like, oh, just when in doubt, play the Bills, play the Chiefs, play the Ravens. But those teams are no longer trustworthy. So it has been a little bit harder over the last few weeks. But we trudge on. All right. So I wanted to bring this up because it's wild to me how much Notre Dame is doing to continue being petty about all this stuff with the college football playoffs. So the latest installment of the absolute temper tantrum that the Irish are throwing is that now they've canceled a book signing that was scheduled Friday for Ivan Mizell in his new book on former Notre Dame head coach and legend Frank Leahy. So obviously he is promoting Notre Dame and he was going to do a book signing at Notre Dame. And Notre Dame said, you're not going to have a book signing here because Ivan Mizell is a member of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. And they're blaming him for all of this. Like, what next level of petty is this? Like, this is the equivalent of a grown adult being like, you're not coming to my birthday party. People still have birthday parties? Yes, and you're not invited. Like, come on, Notre Dame. Like, when does this end?
I don't know, but they got to wrap this up. Like, Ivan Mizell wrote a book, an entire book on a Notre Dame player and later coach, who is a legend in South Bend. And I think, honestly, more than anything, they were worried about the, you know, people showing up and harassing Ivan Mizell. This was the bookstore saying, you know, we just can't do this. So in my view, it's more of, hey, what sort of feedback are you going to get if fans show up and you think they're going to want you to sign, you know, their copy of the book or talk about your experience or talk about Notre Dame instead of coming to tell you face to face why Notre Dame belongs and you don't belong in the playoff committee. I think that's a real issue as well, which is ridiculous. Like, come on. The Notre Dame We're Pissed Off tour needs to end like yesterday. We get it. It's making you look bad.
Right. He's not the only member of the selection committee. Like, it wasn't a unilateral decision where it was him or even him being the mouthpiece of this. You know, if it was Hunter Juracek, like, maybe it's different, but I don't know. Like, this feels crazy. Did you see this other claim that Notre Dame said that the college football playoff has already guaranteed them a spot next year in the top 12? Did you see that? I couldn't even believe it. Like, they said it on the Dan Patrick show, and I'm like, there's no way that this is true because it's just completely unfair. So you're saying that you have a guaranteed spot in something regardless of how you play? That seems absolutely nuts to me. Like, Dan's saying it's true. Like, this level of entitlement that we're seeing from Notre Dame, Like, we've always known that it was kind of underneath the surface, but I feel like this year, every you know, accusation of them feeling like the spoiled brats of college football is coming true.
Seriously. And here's the thing. When you have that guaranteed spot like that, then it undercuts all of these arguments you're making that you're not being treated fairly. Because if you look at the big picture, guess what? Not only are you not being treated unfairly, you're getting a privilege that other teams don't have. So what you want is, oh, we have this guarantee that in 2026 and beyond, we get a spot if we finish in the top 12. Nobody else has that agreement, by the way. That's specific to us. That's only for us. And also, look at how we're the victim here. You can't have it both ways. You cannot.
Right. I don't know where this level of entitlement comes from either. They haven't even won a national championship in the last few years. Like, that's the thing. It'd be one thing if it was like Ohio State. It was like, yeah, we're going to be good every single year. Like, I don't know. Notre Dame, get out of here. It doesn't work this way in any other sport. Like, that's the crazy thing, too. Like, no other team is, like, the Kansas City Chiefs right now are not being like, hey, listen, we know we lost some games, but, like, there were close ones and to good teams. Put us in the playoffs. It doesn't work that way.
God. Oh, my God. And I hope this is finally, I hope they're finally realizing, and I think they're finally running out of steam now. Like, I don't know how many more interviews or appearances Pete Bavakwa can make before the rest of the college football world, to the sports world, sort of hones in and says, you know that you're way overdoing this. Like, you should have ended this months ago. And this is bad pub for the university. I know the university thinks it's doing itself a favor and advocating for itself. And I get that. You know, all coaches do that. All athletic directors do that. Universities, their athletic departments, they'll send out, you know, flyers, newsletters, post things online, graphics, advocating for their players for the Heisman or their teams for making the playoff. All of that is fair game. But once it's over, you are not the only one who is aggrieved because you think you're special. And anyone who thinks Notre Dame sort of carries itself in a different way and who thinks that it is better than everyone else, well, guess what? This is why they think that.
Well, and like you mentioned, I feel like it's damaging their reputation because, like, if you're going to play the victim and you want people to feel sorry for you, this ain't the way, brother.
Right.
Nobody feels sorry for you anymore. Like, maybe at the start, it felt dirty the way that the committee had them in the playoff for every single other set of rankings. And they're like, oh, rug pull. Miami's going to jump you, even though neither of you guys played. Like, that felt dirty to me. But now, after all this complaining, I don't sympathize with Notre Dame anymore. Like, they've lost the victim card to me.
Why? They weren't a victim in the first place. You know what? I know. I take that back. Like, okay, I'm trying to give them credit. They had a legitimate beef. Okay, they had a beef. I don't want to say they were a victim, but it's like, you know what? You had a beef, and I said
that's
this
how
before.
They feel.
Yeah, they feel like a victimized. Texas had a beef. Like, you're talking to someone who is just as upset about his particular school. Like, for every argument you can make for Notre Dame, you can make one for Texas. And if you want to say, well, they're not the same, fine. But you don't hear me on, and I got this platform right now. If I have the chance right now to go off, I can. And I'm not going to do it because it's like, listen, we're not the only school who has an argument here. Okay? Other schools have arguments, and this playoff process is also flawed. We're seeing that right now. There are going to be changes. So, yes, maybe you got a raw deal, but not everyone. But guess what? Most of the people who thought you got a raw deal were, I don't know, graduates of Notre Dame. And I thought, oh, I don't think this is fair. I think Notre Dame belongs in, but not to the point where you paint yourself as the victim and then you go on some sort of tour across the country and continue to tell everyone how you're a victim. That just doesn't play well at all. And it hasn't.
Yeah, and demand a guaranteed spot next year?
Come on.
Like, the audacity.
God.
Okay, Jinx, we could talk about that for hours. It feels like college football can definitely, like, just take over any conversation. And that's why it's popular too. Cause like the arguing, as much as it is dramatic and annoying, like this is what drives the sport and the interest level. So I get it. But we do need to get to our survivor picks.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
There can be only one.
Who will survive?
All right, Jinx. So clearly you really like the Seahawks and Colts game because I know you have another play in it. What's your survivor pick?
Yes. Well, I'm just going to go Seahawks over the Colts. Initially, I was sort of out of my mind yesterday and I put in something minus the points and everybody was like, okay, it's not the way it works. You know that, right? We're in week 15 in the NFL. I'm not knocking Phillip Rivers. I hope he does great. I think he's going to do great, but the Seahawks are at home. I think the Seahawks are a top three team easy in the National Football League. It's amazing, Seahawks and Rams in the same division. So he might play well, and the Colts can absolutely still lose the game. So I'm going to take Seahawks over the Colts.
Yeah, and knock on wood, it feels like the Seahawks, they're good at winning the games they're supposed to win. Like, they're not doing those, like, crazy games where they look terrible against, like, some bad team. So, knock on wood, feels like that's been the case all season long. And one of the best teams in the NFL. All right, so this needs about 10 seconds to explain. I'm going with the Niners over my Titans. You think the Titans are going to win two games in a row?
Right.
It ain't happening, brother. They haven't had a win streak of two games since 2021. Do you see this team this year? It's not happening. It's not happening against the Niners. The Niners are too good. The Titans are bad. All right, Double D, what's your survivor pick?
I'm going to go with the team that I think might have the best defense since the Legion of Boom. I'm going to go with the Texans over a bad Cardinals team.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. All right, and Denton, you are bringing up the rear. I was going to say this is a bold pick, but then I was like, this team they're facing is really bad. So, Den, I don't see you on the screen. Bold.
Yeah. Oh, I'm taking
there
the
–
There I am. I'm taking the Eagles over the Raiders. The Raiders' defense sucks. If this is not a get-right game for Philadelphia, then their season has officially moved into disaster mode. So I'm expecting a big game from Jalen Hurts. I'm expecting a big game from Saquon Barkley. This should be a relatively comfortable win for Philadelphia. So I got the Eagles over the Raiders.
Do you ever root for teams in markets like this to fail sometimes just for like the fallback to see how crazy Philly fans would be? If they lose this game, can you imagine the callers on talk radio on WIP? It would be massive.
I root for them to lose just because I hate them. But that would also be it's a cherry on top too, that the city would potentially implode.
Right. The teams in Philly feel like, you know, the teams in New York for baseball, where even if things are going well, it feels like the sky's falling. Because again, like the Eagles are probably going to win the division, but yet you would think that the Eagles have lost like seven games in a row and, you know, they're careening towards the number one pick in the NFL draft. The way that we've seen these reactions from their fans. But I think obviously some of it's warranted because they won the Super Bowl last year. But, Jenks, do you think Philly fans are ever dramatic?
I think they're just constantly angry and looking for reasons to be angry, which could be dramatic. Right? Yes.
I remember the first time I went to Philadelphia and I landed and at the baggage claim, there were two women fist fighting. And I'm like, welcome to the city of brotherly love. All right, hour three is next to the show. Greg Aumann of NFL or of Fox Sports joins the show to talk everything NFL. It's next.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.